city on the hill. Vote for Donald Trump for a safer America. Greatness! God bless the United States of America! USA!
In order to ensure the security and continuing stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire for a safe and secure society.
This is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to win so big. Thank you.
Yes, it's Friday, May 4th. May the 4th be with you, everybody. Welcome to Raging Chicken's Out to Coop podcast. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. Each week I talk to our Capitol muckraker in chief, Sean Kitchen, about the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. On today's show, California and 17 other states sue the Trump administration over vehicle efficiency standards. Top aides to Scott Pruitt resigns. Is he on his way out? Who the hell knows? Amazing May Day protests across the country. And is it really a neo-Nazi running as a Republican for U.S. Senate in California? Well, Snopes takes that one on, and you're not going to believe this one, folks. And the Trump train wreck strategy continues as Rudy talks funneling money to lawyers to pay off porn stars. A little closer to home, is it going to be climate change or jobs? Once again, the false choice reels its head in discussions about the restart of the Mariner East pipeline. Climate activists say no, and you got some union members up there saying, pipeline away. Public Utility Commission recommends the restart of Mariner East pipeline despite its history of disasters and environmental impacts. And Daryl Metcalf, you know our boy, Daryl Metcalf.
Daryl Metcalf.
Well, he had his annual gun rally this week, and members from the Oath Keepers, Three Percenters, and Pennsylvania Patriots United showed up. And skinheads, that shorthand, everybody, for neo-fascists from a group called American Guard were also there. Apparently, some of the American Guard people were taking Sean to task because one of the American Guards actually had hair. So what's that about skinhead, Sean? Ooh, you got him there. Ooh. And we got Bernie Sanders making his way through Pennsylvania this weekend as he endorses Jess King out in Lancaster, Greg Edwards right here in the Pennsylvania 7th, and meeting up and finishing out the day with a rally with John Fetterman down in Philadelphia. Amazing. And I don't know if anybody heard this week, but also there was a great kind of report on the Majority Report yesterday. It was about this piece by Gabrielle DeBenedetti in the New Yorker, or I'm sorry, in New York Magazine, about the Bernie media empire that he's quietly building. So we'll talk a little about that. And in today's last call, Space Force is back, everybody. Space Force. Yes, as Trump doubles down on the sixth branch of the military. Gotta love it. Sean takes a visit to Evergreen Brewery in Camp Hill. And he'll also fill us in a little bit on his, camera nerdism a little bit as he's getting ready to cover the Bernie Sanders event out in Lancaster. And Free Will Brewery had a triple sour release this week on Wednesday. And on, well, tomorrow, actually. I was going to say Saturday, but tomorrow, they are coming out with their May the 5th sour, too, as well, which last year was fantastic, and it promises to be super, super good this week. want to remind everybody to tune into the Rick Smith Show on Free Speech TV this and every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern. I'll be there giving the weekly resistance report. You can stream the show live at freespeech.org. You can also tune in the Dish Network, DirecTV, or through the Free Speech TV app on Roku. I'm not going to be there giving the resistance report this week. I have to admit, I really wanted to be there this week. It's my last week of the semester, so I wasn't there. So I lied. I'm not going to be there this week. But you got to check out Rick's show because it's fantastic. And if you missed the show, you can just go to Free Speech TV, freespeech.org, and they've got the show's archive there. He's had an absolute phenomenal week with it. So do check it out. Want to give a special thank you to Marge, man, for the generous donation that she made to Raging Chicken this week. That was an amazing surprise to receive in the mail. Thank you so much for your support. I can promise you this, we will continue to do the hard-nosed reporting, investigative work that we do. I appreciate the note, and I appreciate the contribution. And if you like what you hear, be like Marge, everybody. Support Pull No Punches Progressive Media. Become a member of Raging Chicken for as little as $5 a month. Simply go to patreon.com/rcpress and choose your membership level. If you're not ready to become a member, no problem. You can make a one-time donation by going to ragingchickenpress.org, click on the support and membership tab, click donate, and you're good to go. And gotta say, Sean, man, once again, we've got just a, you know, another fun-filled week here in Pennsylvania and around the country, really.
It's always a fun-filled week. Man, there's never a dull moment.
There is never a dull moment. So let's just get this out of the way. Let's just talk a little bit about, this has been like the Trump train wreck week with Rudy Giuliani going on Fox News. Everyone kind of like losing their about. Rudy basically saying that Trump is funneling money to pay off the porn stars and all this stuff. I mean, did you follow this stuff this week, Sean?
No, I did not. I have not been following this stuff.
I think that's the appropriate response. No, I have to say it's interesting because, this is when you get to see what happens when you as the Democratic Party leadership and the kind of like, you know, mainstream kind of liberal media that includes MSNBC put all their eggs in the kind of the Russia and Mueller basket. You find that, you know, Rudy Giuliani goes on Fox Business and goes on Sean Hannity's show and basically says, hey, you know, look, there's no problem here. What Trump was basically doing was that he had Michael Cohen on a retainer for $35,000. Michael Cohen just went out and kind of paid off this porn star, right? Just like he normally does, right? And then used that money.
And Sean Hattie would know.
Right, exactly. And used that money and this is his words, Rudy Giuliani's words were, Trump basically funneled the money through the lawyer, right, to basically pay off Michael Cohen for paying off the porn star, right?
And if there's one thing John Edwards taught us,
don't pay off porn stars.
You can't be using campaign cash to pay off the mistress.
No. Here's the thing, though, right? That would be true. Right. That would be a clear case. And I think that's what all the kind of like the MSNBCers and the kind of leadership of the Democratic Party want everybody to say, like, look, it's a violation of the campaign. But you know what? It's not clear that that's actually what's going on. That's what's most interesting to me about this, about the response to what Rudy Giuliani said. I have to say, when I first heard it, I was like, oh, my God, he just like spills the beans. But I'm like, well, wait a minute. This is not at all clear that he spilled the beans in terms of a criminal matter, right? Certainly it was kind of unethical and it was problematic, but it is not the kind of goose that laid the golden egg that is eventually going to get rid of Trump and usher in the Pence era, right? No, it is merely yet the latest,
It's an ethics scandal.
It's an ethics scandal.
And like we were talking about this beforehand, I mean, like this is an ethics scandal. And, like, Republicans don't play by ethics. They have never played by ethics over the past 20 or 30 years. So, really, it's just mudslinging that's going to result in nothing.
Right. And this is the kind of stuff that, look, the mainstream corporate media, and they are geared up to follow personalities and crisis of personalities, right? They're geared up to look at scandal and things like this. That's what they do well. Right. And well doesn't mean I necessarily like it, but that's what they do well. That's what they're set up to do. And that's what they can focus on in terms of this Trump thing. I'm not saying that there's no criminal element to all this stuff, but when I see what that Rudy Giuliani go on Fox News and say this stuff, I don't think it was just incompetent, like an incompetent fuck up. I don't think that's what it was at all, right? I think that this is Trump once again getting out in front of something, right? I'm spilling it all out so that he can just kind of like say, yeah, I don't see what the problem is here. Yeah, I did it. He's going to claim it. He's going to put on the mantle of I'm the strong guy, right? And then everyone is coming attacking me for this, and they're making stuff up. That's the game plan. Because if we know anything, like, there is no ethical, like, you know, there is no ethical lapse that is going to bother Trump. That is not the issue. And as much as the kind of liberal media would like us to believe that, that is not what's going on. That's just corporate media.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
I mean, we're just getting this like now, May of 2018.
No, clearly we have not gotten it yet. Right? I mean, as a, we have not learned lessons yet. And, you know, if you look at I got to even talk about this, the whole kind of Michelle Wolf thing that came up last week, right?
Yes, which is awesome.
Yeah, this is. I mean, I heard her thing, man. I was literally doubled over, like falling off my chair. It's like, oh my God, this is what we need, right? We need somebody who's going to be this frank and open and this much of a...
Right to their faces.
Oh, and like to a disgusting human being in that, like Donald Trump and his surrounding administration, to a media that has fallen flat on its face, right? And is kind of like, you know, basically falling in line. Yes, they're being like hard-nosed about the Russia scandal, about this stuff, but all the other crap, right? You know, if it's
outside... They're the first defense Sarah Huckabee Sanders...
Oh yeah, it was wild to see, and I was like, "Well, there you go." Didn't that just prove?
I love like the one billionaire who tweeted that he left early because he was disgusted, and someone followed up with like, "Yeah, he went right to the like martini party after the NBC Universal party."
Yeah, right. Yeah, and what?
he was first in line.
Yeah, he was first in line, right? Probably snuggling up next to Scott Pruitt, right, and kind of laughing and laughing, right? And that's where it is. It's all. I mean, the whole response to Michelle Wolf was all about like manners, and that's it.
She wasn't respecting the institutions,
right? My favorite.
I thought her. What were you gonna say?
No. Go ahead.
I was gonna say a couple of my favorite jokes. Mm-hmm. One was the Aunt Lydia comment.
That was pretty good.
Because like that was just like something where I don't watch Handmaid's Tale. But you can just like tell it just like chopped her in half, like it just completely debased her. Well, it was like the people who got it right away started laughing.
Well, yeah, totally. I don't know if it got her right away or she was like, I don't know who Aunt Lydia is, but I'm gonna look.
But you saw like on her face, yeah, you could see like
I don't know who Aunt Lydia is.
she had the, like an expression like, do I laugh here or not? What's it all about? Who's Aunt Lydia?
And Mike Pence, if you haven't seen it. You'd love it. That was a great follow-up, I have to say.
The best part was Mike Pence is Anderson Cooper straight. Like when she cracked that joke on Mike Pence, like, yeah, Mike Pence is what you get when Anderson Cooper is straight. And then she goes earlier.
And I forget the guy from CNN. They panned the audience. The guy from CNN, I'm forgetting his name.
Don Lemon.
Yeah, he would like he just literally fell over laughing. He was like, I can't believe it's so funny.
But no, she took everyone to task.
Yep. Yeah. No, she did, and I think that you know, look, I have to say, is like one of my favorite parts about my favorite jokes that she made, right, was the part where she started taking on Democrats. And matter of fact, I thought that this was one of the things. It hasn't gotten a whole lot of attention, but it was really.
Is it the Michigan joke?
Well, there was that one, right? The Michigan joke was a good one. Let me see if I can find it. I want to see if I can get it. Yeah, here it is, right? So this is what she says. Republicans are easy to make fun of. You know, it's like shooting fish in a Chris Christie. Right. And then she says, but I also want to make fun of Democrats. Democrats are harder to make fun of because you guys don't do anything. Right. People think you might flip the House and Senate this November, but you guys always find a way to mess it up. You're somehow going to lose by 12 points to a guy named Jeff Pedophile Nazi Doctor. And this is the key part. She goes, oh, he's a doctor. right? And I thought that right there was one of the most cutting things that she said the entire night that hasn't got much attention, because that got to the core of what has happened to the Democratic Party over the past 30 years is because of the credentials of the education and the professional status. Oh, we're going to overlook that thing. Right. And there was a commentator from Daily Beast. I can't remember her name, but she was writing about it, which she was just like disgusted with the response to Michelle Wolf. Disgusted with these people defending Sarah Huckabee Sanders as if that was the issue. And she was just like, she called it like a whole lot of Monday morning pearl clutching. Like, oh my God, can you believe that she said these things? And that's really what it seemed to me to be all about. It offended that whole sensibility within the Democratic Party, and the media got called to task for profiting off of the Trump administration and not covering things outside of its comfort zone of its three topics of Russia, Mueller, and whatever other scandal it might be.
Yeah. Yeah, no, when she started off with the Roy Moore joke, you knew where it was going from there.
Oh, my God. I know. I actually, when it came up,
I'm 10 years too young to be here, or 10 years, yeah, too young to be here, and 20 years too old for Roy Moore.
My God. That was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Like, as soon as she started that, people were like, oh, God. Like, you just see the looks on people's faces, like, this is where we're going.
Yeah. Like, I mean, look how she started it off, right? You know, this is, you know,
White House. Like, you should have done your research.
Yeah, White House Correspondents Dinner. Nobody cares. Like, it's C-SPAN. Nobody's watching. So, like, a Trump having sex with a porn star. Let's get this over with. Like, here's your opening line. Yeah, and I love that when she said, yeah, you should have done your research. All I'm going to say to this is, like, despite the White House Correspondents Association coming out and, like, distancing himself from Michelle Wolf and all that, I'm going to say this. Whoever it was in the White House Correspondents Association who did do their research, right, and got Michelle Wolf to come and do that routine, right, thank you, right? I don't think it was an oversight. I would think it was somebody in that association being like, fuck these people. But that's just me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, so yeah, Michelle Wolf, she's good. Her resume is nice. What type of work she does? Nope. Okay. When, like, the...
Look, I mean, she's got a special on Netflix. You ever seen her special on Netflix?
I have not.
Right. It's called, like, Nice Lady. Mm-hmm. Right. And one of her first lines of the special is like, I'm so off, like, I am not a nice lady. Like, that's like line
she's
one.
She's from Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, she is. She's right here in Pennsylvania. Right.
Yeah.
See that? See, Pennsylvania breeds some good stuff, man. There you go. So, yeah, so that's how we kind of started off the week. Like, I can't even believe we didn't have that in our initial notes, because it feels like that was like 3 weeks ago. But it really was, man. That just, like, I was like a huge fan. I'm now following her on Twitter, like, making sure you're going to watch her show that's going to be coming up on Netflix. Definitely check out her comedy and shoot her support. And, you know, take those people to task who are, you know, all doing all the pearl clutching and can't stand the fact that somebody actually dared break decorum when we've got an administration that doesn't really care about decorum, doesn't give a crap, and is like throwing our kind of entire public sector down the toilet, right? And by public sector, I'm not just saying public sector jobs. I mean our protections of the environment, our kind of regulations that are going to prevent the next financial collapse. All that crap.
The best joke of the night was when she said, yeah, we tried to grab Donald Trump to be here tonight, but apparently he's one pussy you can't grab. Yeah. And everyone was like, everyone didn't know, like, to laugh or not. She's like, yep. What? His own words.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you, Michelle Wolf, we salute you. We salute you. And we need more Michelle Wolfs in the world, that's for sure. Certainly we need him right here in Pennsylvania. Well, meantime, so we got so, you know, in the real world, right, you know, other than the fact that we saw more kind of chaos happening around, you know, yes, we got the Trump stuff on the Rudy Giuliani and all that other kind of stuff, which I think is just total smoke and mirrors. That is just going to be more about kind of it's about a political PR front that is kind of pretty much people should be able to recognize this as this is standard practice of the way that Trump operates, right? And instead of just keep your nose to the grindstone, instead of making a huge media splash about it, because yes, it was an important story to break, but it is not the end of all the things like Rachel Maddow wanted to say last night. This is just kind of part of the process. Let Robert Mueller do his work and move on, right? Then you're going to find you're going to see more scandals of people like aides to Scott Pruitt, right? Because now he's got whatever 11 investigations against him. They're taking off right now over like scandals of their own. They're all gone. That's all fine. Meanwhile, right, we find out some kind of real things are going on. There are people that are actually fighting back, right? And we see that California and 17 other states this past week basically filed suit against the Trump administration, because what the Trump administration was doing while everyone was paying attention to the latest scandal, right, that was going out, basically they were kind of getting rid of the vehicle emissions efficiency standards that were put in place by Obama. Right. If you recall, there was Obama put in standards that were going to have kind of up the minimum miles per gallon that a vehicle would have. I think it was supposed to come into play 2020, was it? I'm not sure. And they just repealed that. Right. So, you know, you have California and 17 other states joining together and basically saying, nope, not going to do it. We're going to sue you over this, over the repeal of these efficiency standards, because it's going to have a direct effect and a negative effect upon our citizens and our people. I mean, this is kind of, you know, the kind of thing that is important, right? I don't know, man. You have a lot to say about that, huh, Sean?
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry. Sorry. My Twitter's going nuts. It's just exploded with the guy from American Guard is like totally going crazy. Just kidding.
Well, no, I was just doing research on the guy who is commenting on our wall.
Yes, I know. Yes, I know. Would you find anything good?
Yeah, he was skinhead.
He's a skinhead. That's awesome. So, all right, means I also May Day was this past weekend. Happy May Day or belated May Day for everybody. There were protests around the country. Kind of New York City had a huge outpouring of folks out there for the May Day protest. Los Angeles, you know, all the major cities had May Day protests and everything. It was great to see. And I think that they had an energy this year that kind of added into. Because you recall that you also had the kind of immigrants' rights protests have been going on May Day for, God, kind of years now. And then so those continued on Monday. No, not Monday, Tuesday, sorry. Those continued on Tuesday, in addition to basically, you know, a lot of people have been organizing, especially people on the left, especially on kind of among socialists, Democratic, you know, DSA members, kind of socialist worker, right across the board, you know, we're kind of out there in force to celebrate May Day. And, you know, it is the Labor Day of resistance, right? It's instead of the Labor Day of barbecues, it is the militant Labor Day, the one that kind of recalls the fact that the only way that workers ever got their fair share, ever got the 8-hour day, was through direct militism. Action, militant action, and direct confrontation of capital. Nobody is ever going to give us anything that we don't take for ourselves.
We've been seeing that the past month, 2 months now.
That's exactly right. This is exactly it. And so, you know, I think that this year's May Day, I think, was especially encouraging, because it wasn't simply like a recall of history. It was real time, right? Teachers statewide walking out, Arizona teachers walking out, like, you know, West Virginia teachers walking out, Kentucky teachers, mass occupations of the Capitol building. This is kind of what we need to say. This is what we need to say. So, good. So, you know, we got all that, all the good stuff. And then we've got this kind of interesting little story out of California you know, if you were a college student, you know, and you were writing a paper about this, that you might actually want to find out, okay, is this just one of these internet hoaxes, or maybe I should go check out Snopes, right, Sean?
Yes. So there's a question. Is a neo-Nazi really running as a Republican for U.S. Senate in California? then Snopes took that on and you want to know what it was? Came out to be true.
It came out to be true.
So there is a neo-Nazi named Patrick Little running for U.S. Senate out in California. A poll came out last week that places him in second place. And for those of you who don't know how California's primary system works, everyone from every part, everyone from all parties are on the same ballot. And the top two people who get the votes get put on the ballot for November. So you could have two Democrats or you can have a Democrat Republican, two Republicans and stuff like that. In California, you usually have two Democrats, but with the polling out, this neo-Nazi Patrick Little has 18%. Of the vote, and that's second place, and in if this remains the same, in all likelihood, he'll be going up against Dianne Feinstein in November, and his platform is pretty much get the Jew out of here. Like it is straight up neo-Nazi stuff.
You got to love it, right? You got to love it. Let's just kind of read a little bit from Snopes here. So, like, the question was, claim, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, Patrick Little, has expressed anti-Semitic views, including calls for the United States free, being United States free from Jews. Is this true? True! It's rated true, right? California's 2018 U.S. Senate election attracted nationwide attention in April 2018, not long after publication of a poll showing a little-known Republican and committed neo-Nazi, Patrick Little, had 18% of support among likely primary election voters, second to incumbent Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein with 39%. How about that? He has also espoused anti-Semitic conspiracy theories calling for racial segregation, white people migrating to all-white continuity zones in the United States, and even appeared to threaten the extermination of Jewish people who refused to voluntarily vacate their government employment. In an email response to our inquiries, California Republican spokesperson Matt Fleming told us, Mr. Little has never been an active member of our party. I do not know. Squirrel!
And up next.
And up next, exactly. And now for my next magical trick. So you got there you go, man. We've got in like running second, right? Running second.
Yeah, like I mean like this is what your party the Republican Party has become. I mean, yeah, this, you have Arthur Jones getting on the ticket in an unoccupied ballot race and no one challenged him out there. I mean, got people voting for a fucking Nazi.
Yeah.
People voting for Nazis. Fucking Nazis.
Like actual Nazis. Like, yes, not like we are being kind of, you know.
Like they would shoot you in the fucking grave you just dug Nazis. Like,
well, no, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know how this all the whole idea was like you can never call identify. If you call somebody a Nazi, you lose the argument, right? That's the rule. But it doesn't work anymore because you have actual Nazis.
What's the what's the law? Like someone will always use Nazi in a comment section.
That's what I was just saying. Yeah,
I gotta look it up right now.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was trying to remember.
For your Nazi comment law. Godwin's law.
Godwin's law. Yeah, yeah.
Godwin's law is now becoming... Is moot. Now running for...
It's becoming moot. It's like it doesn't work anymore. It's like somebody's all going to call some... Well, yeah, but if it's actually an accurate label, right, then you kind of got to do it. Right? Yeah. If the guy himself is saying, yep, Nazi, yep.
I want to kill the Jew, you know?
I mean, like, this is where we are.
The Holocaust is a lie.
Right.
Like, you open up the Snopes article, and the video doesn't even start yet, and the play screen's at Patrick Little, quote, the Holocaust is a lie.
There you go. There you go. Right. Well, you know, I think that, look, I mean, I think there are some sectors of the population that are finally coming around to this. Like, there was a fantastic, Sarah Kendzior, I don't know if you know her stuff?
No, I did not read it, but I've heard of her, and she was on Rick Smith's show this week, right?
Yeah, she's. I mean,
because I saw you tweeting about it.
I freaking love Sarah Kendzior. Right? She's got this awesome new book called Views from Flyover Country. It's basically a compilation of the work that she's been writing for years now, and you know, it's basically she was one of the kind of voices in the wilderness that were kind of like calling attention to kind of the autocratic turn that was happening in American culture, right, particularly among the Republican Party and on the right wing for years. And for, you know, for the longest time, she was like, you know, considered to be like on the fringe. OK, maybe she's like, you know, a little on the edge there. And every single thing that she's been talking about has come to pass, to the point where now you've got, you know, Morning Joe inviting her on their show to basically talk about her book. Right. And then, you know, she calls out Morning Joe for being part of the kind of, you know, the rise of Trump. But anyways, you know, she was on.
Which, and, as they fucking deserve.
Exactly. Yeah, she actually laughed in their faces. Like, you know, they're like, well, you know, Mika was like, you know, she's trying to, like, steer the conversation away from Sarah Kendzior, basically saying you people are the ones who, like, helped bring this guy to think. You remember that whole tape that was released where you were chatting up Donald Trump about how great this is going to be? Remember that whole thing?
Like, but how many times you just let him call in the TV,
exactly,
TV show
and welcome that, right? And and so Mika kept on steering the conversation away from the kind of direct confrontation, and then made some comment about, like, yeah, well, because you know we're all familiar with kind of like what happened there. And Sarah Kendzior like burst out laughing. She's like, of course you are, right, knowing full well. And I was like, oh. But anyway, she was on Rick Smith, and you know, it's really good to see some people actually getting some airways, you know, getting on the airways now and getting some actually time, making the case that this is not an aberration that we're seeing. This whole idea that you've got Nazis running in the Republican primaries across this country, or in second place in California, you know, that you've got in Illinois open Nazi running party, that these freak kind of like extreme right wing politics that have turned. This is not something that is other than the Republican Party. This is the Republican Party now. And the fact is that the majority of people that voted for Donald Trump were not these kind of disaffected voters who have been left behind, right? The main people that voted Donald Trump into office were Republicans. Right. This is the nature of their party now. If it is not the alt-right kind of extremism, it is the Koch brother fully kind of bought out center of the party.
Well, I was having a good conversation with Daryl Lamont Jenkins over the summer, right, when we're talking about some of the things with Identity Europa. And he said, like, the Identity Europa of today are the Republicans of tomorrow.
Yes.
Like, and that's pretty much what he was saying. And I mean, like, you look at it now. Pretty much like these white nationalists are running, these neo-Nazis are running for office, and they're getting on our ballots. I mean, yeah. They're getting their names on the ballot. That's scary that your party is openly that is happening right now.
Well, and let's
that
say
is an issue.
And not only are they getting on the ballots, 18% of people support them, right? I mean, so let's. This is what we've got to understand.
20%. That's a large part. That's a large segment of the
right
of your population.
Yeah, right. Especially in like
that's a chunk of your population.
Exactly. Right. So yes, Dianne Feinstein, what 39%. She can't even get a majority, right, in that primary.
But there's probably like, I think there might be like 10 other people running.
Yeah, sure enough, right? I mean, there's reasons for it, right? I mean, but the fact is that there's not 10 other people with 18% of the vote.
Yeah.
Right? So all the other ones are weighed up. So the fact that you've got a concentration of 18%, that becomes absolutely important to remember, right? Because this is not, again, I think it's wrongheaded for us to solely think about, you know, the kind of disaffected former white manufacturing industrialist kind of male as being the only one that's there. If you look at the statistics, again, if you break down one, everything Trump, the Trump factor has everything to do with race, right? If you look at the ways that white women voted, and if the only reason that Hillary Clinton in the last election got the women's vote was because of African-American women, of Latino women. White women swung towards Trump. Right. This has everything to do with race. This has everything to do with the racial politics that this country still cannot deal with. Right. And right. We're seeing the fruits of that right now. Right. And the fact that the Republican Party has sold out to these things, because for the longest time they nurtured it because they thought, like, you get the extremists and they'll do crazy shit that we can distance ourselves from, but will help us win elections. Now they've hollowed that space out in their own party and they control it. So.
And now we'll be talking about that coming up next. In the
segment. Yes, we will. So I shouldn't spoil stuff so much right now, Sean. I think we should just get to that so we can talk all about it. Because we got there was a crazy rally. In Harrisburg, and we're going to talk about that when we come back after the break.
We got sound from it.
We got sound from it.
Yes.
We'll play on the way in. Don't miss it. This is exclusive right here. Raging Chicken Press sound from Pennsylvania Capitol Building. All right. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. Want to remind everybody to become a member of Raging Chicken for as little as $5 a month. All you got to do is go to Patreon.com/RCPress, and you can become a member today. When we come back after this break, we will go all in on Pennsylvania. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. We'll be right back after this.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1948. That was the day United Electrical Workers voted to strike at Univis Lens Company in Dayton, Ohio. Univis made safety lenses and instrumental optics. The UE was well established in the area manufacturing plants. Once organized, Univis fought the UE's presence at every chance they could. When the contract expired at the end of April, Univis refused to negotiate. First came the injunctions limiting picketing. This was followed by a vigorous decertification campaign. Foremen made intimidating personal visits to workers' homes, offering raises and personal loans to coerce no votes. When the UE lost the election in late July, the company announced wage increases for returning workers and firings for the remaining strikers. Workers stuck together and the strike continued. By the 26th, police swamped the picket lines, beating top UE organizers and arresting hundreds. 2 days later, the company offered a settlement for all but 11 strikers. The members refused. Then, the House Un-American Activities Committee came to town to begin a red-baiting inquisition of the UE district. The city's unions were outraged at the beatings and arrests. They walked off their jobs to bolster the picket lines and were met with tear gas. Governor Herbert called in the National Guard on August 2nd. 1,500 troops rolled into town in Sherman tanks with machine guns trained on the strikers. Scabs were escorted through plant gates between rows of fixed bayonets. Area residents, furious at the virtual martial law, flooded the governor with angry protests until troops were finally withdrawn. The strike ended in victory, with workers winning most of their demands. All but five were reinstated, and by the following April, the NLRB voided the decertification election.
My challenge! The ancient laws of combat, we are met at this chosen ground to settle for good and all. Who holds sway over the 5 points? Us natives, born rightwise to this fine land, or the foreign hordes defiling it?
There it was, everybody. Exclusive sound from inside the Pennsylvania Capitol building during Daryl Metcalf's gun rally, everybody.
Yeah, on Monday morning, Daryl Metcalf had his annual gun rally where he, pulled out his nativist, his sovereign citizen bullshit and just gave it to the crowds and people ate it up.
People ate it up. Well, I guess you had a crowd that was ready and willing to eat it up too.
Yes. Yes, there was. And also on top of that, there were members from the Oath Keepers there.
The Oath Keepers. Pray yeah. tell, the Oath Keepers. That's strange for them to be there at a Daryl Metcalf rally.
Yeah, the Three Percenters were there.
The Three Percenters.
Yeah.
We're going to have to start calling them the 18 percenters, apparently.
And then people from this other anti-government militia group, Pennsylvania Patriots United.
Nice.
And then there were skinheads from the American Guard.
There. Sean, need to be accurate. Some of those skinheads had hair.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I'm going to. So this group was founded by this guy named Brian James out of Indianapolis, right? It's a spinoff. This group is called Vinlanders, and he also founded a group called American Guard. And these two organizations are basically loose-knit connections of skinhead organizations from around different states. So,
yeah, and was it Sean?
Skinheads, neo-fascists, same thing.
Yeah, and so, I mean, they have...
And it's actually a multiracial organization.
According to the guy who's been tweeting you on Twitter, right?
Yeah, well, the person commenting on our story on Facebook, on the website.
It's a multiracial organization.
Under the official Vinlander, under the official American Guard Facebook page.
You know, I'm really curious. You know who I'd love to get comment from?
Who's that?
We haven't heard from him in a while, but Big Sarge. Big Sarge knows these guys because Big Sarge is also a, you know, he has got a multiracial following there too as well. So I wonder if he's
all
like
95
connected.
Twitter followers.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, well, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, Big Sarge really likes a kind of good logo and, you know, these folks, the American Guard, certainly got their nice good logo.
Yeah. And so, you know what the funny thing is? If you go to the Facebook page of the American Guard, you know what you come across?
Mm-mm. I do tell.
A big fucking picture of Bill the Butcher wearing a MAGA hat.
Bill the... You mean... Wait a minute. Do you mean...
On my challenge! By the ancient laws of combat...
That Bill the Butcher?
Yeah, that Bill the Butcher.
It's funny that he was actually in the Harrisburg Capitol then. What a coincidence.
I know, right? Like this organization, their demigod that they worship, their anti-hero or whoever, is Bill the Butcher or William Poole. And if you ever seen Gangs in New York, you'd know this guy was like a real son of a bitch.
Well, you know, he had some things to say, right?
By the ancient laws of combat, we are met at this chosen ground to settle for good and all.
Was this actually
who
Metcalf speaking?
Way over the 5 points. Us natives, born rightwise.
Born rightwise, Sean.
Fine land.
Fine land.
The foreign hordes.
Foreign hordes. There they are, the American Guard cheering. Hear them? Hear them? Yeah. That was them.
You know what the funny thing is? Like, that the Gangs in New York depicts, what, 1860s, right? New York City, Bowery.
Mm-hmm.
5 points.
5 points, yep.
The speeches that they were given in the fucking Capitol could have sounded just like that.
Well, that's exactly. I mean, I couldn't think of anything more fitting. And, you know, I mean, and not only does this American, you know, this is the other thing, because your picture I thought was like just amazing of that, because as not only do you have like Bill the Butcher, right, with a MAGA hat on, right, on their website, but their logo is this giant kind of USA shield with cross, like, butcher cleavers. Meat cleavers, right? From Bill the Butcher, right? So, I mean, come on. Give me a freaking break. Like, we're a multiracial organization that welcomes everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, just some of them are meat, Sean. Some of them are meat.
Yeah. Let's go... let's do a history class here on William Poole, who Bill the Butcher is the fictional inspirational for.
Please teach.
Not really a nice person.
Gee, Sean, that's enlightening.
You know, nativist. He was a know nothing, anti-Catholic, anti-immigrant. You know, he was basically the people, part of the people that are beating the shit out of the Irish immigrants as they're coming off the boats before they hit the draft line.
Yep.
At the end of the dock. Like, this, I mean, this is what, yeah.
No, I think that, you know,
we're joking and everything, but, you know, like, so Mike Sick had an article this week basically saying that Metcalf's a showman who doesn't believe what he's saying, blah, blah, blah. And he should just give up his, he should step down from his or be removed from the state government chair. And I agree with that, but I also take disagreement. He might be a showman and he might not believe in what he's saying, but the rhetoric that he is spewing is pretty fucking dangerous.
I mean, Sean, we've talked about this. I mean, how many times have we talked about this on the show?
Like, this is nativist,
right?
Know nothing. like 1860 style rhetoric that he is like, you take Irish and replace it with undocumented immigrants or yes. Mexicans, it would be like brought up into modern day. And also, this wasn't just a event go for guns. This was a sovereign citizens right. like bonanza.
Right.
Like this was a like of the this was a bonanza. This is a yearly bash for the far fringe right wing of Pennsylvania politics. And, you know, it brings out the three percenters. It brings out the Oath Keepers. It brings out your anti-government militia groups. And it also brings out your skinhead organizations, too.
Right. I mean,
so, I mean, they're not, they're, obviously, they're in a minority here, but this is who you're bringing into the fold.
I mean, what's it going to take to learn?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is really the point. The point is that let's review, shall we? Right? Let's review. Summer of 2015, right? Donald Trump is a joke, right? A whole bunch of these kind of crazy right-wingers who are coming out, kind of anti-immigrant folks, they're a fringe. So we can just kind of like have fun and laugh at him for a while, right? And really say, ah, he's a fringe. No one's going to pay attention to it. He's just putting on a show. He just wants to make money. He's just doing this so that he can cash in at the end of this campaign, right? Fast forward to 2018. Donald Trump has been our president now for, oh, I don't know, since 2016, right? Since he was elected in 2016 and took office in 2017.
A year and a half now?
A year and a half now. Let's talk about the kind of the right-wing, kind of alt-right people who have made their way into the Trump administration. We also just found out this past week, what did we find out? Oh, the Koch brothers had their own insider in the White House, right? I mean, the fact is that while it may
you have
be
neo-Nazis
true,
running for office
and neo-Nazis with 18% of the vote in freaking California, right? Let's wake up people, right? The fact is like, oh, these extremists, these alt-right people, they just blah, 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 blah. They don't say very much. Meanwhile, one of their people runs down and kills someone in Charlottesville, Virginia, right? These things don't, they're not without consequence. They're not just happening in this kind of like cultural sphere disconnected from reality, right? They are helping form reality. So even if Daryl Metcalf, if you wanted to kind of like give him all the like kind of like whatever, the room in the world and say he doesn't believe this stuff, it doesn't freaking matter because he is nurturing the ground. He is tilling the soil for that next generation of extremism and to kind of like attacks on immigrants, right? Attacks on women, right? I mean, the furthering of a racist agenda. I mean, what do we have to do to learn? Is my yes. question.
Yes. And also, these groups of people, especially the the Patriots organizations, the Patriot groups, mm-hmm. They have been really active out here in central Pennsylvania the past couple months, planning their own gun rallies. One was on a Friday afternoon. It was really cold out in the beginning of April. Didn't bring that many people in. Another one was a couple weeks later on a Saturday afternoon. Probably brought like 50 people, which is a good size with AR-15s. And these are all 3%ers and Oath Keepers. They probably brought like 100 people, I'm going to say, actually. Close to 100, 150 people, which is a good size for them on a weekend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are the 3%ers. These are the people from, this is Big Sarge. This is the people who were giving guard down at Charlottesville. These are your, like, people who are not in the mainstream. And you know who is speaking to them?
Do tell.
Rick Saccone.
There you go. I heard he missed the bus though.
Yeah.
Rick Saccone, godly heritage, godly heritage.
But Rick Saccone is speaking to these people, these 3%ers, these white nationalists and stuff like that. I mean, I love how people are like, oh, we're not white nationalists. We only gave cover to white nationalists down in Charlottesville.
Like, what the hell does that mean? I mean, we're not actual white nationalists. We call ourselves white loving people.
Right? Yeah. Why are you being racist towards white people?
Yeah. And why are you calling people with hair skinheads? Sean, it really worries me, though, when you've got, you know, it's the same kind of logic that we see over and over again when, you know, we see these extremists. And then you've got apologists. I don't know what else to call them. Apologists in the media, right, that will basically say, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. This stuff really doesn't matter. The fact that you've got kind of legislators that are kind of proposing these kind of extremist things, just ignore them. It's just a political ploy. This is the same kind of stuff that happened, and I'm not going to get off on a tangent here, I promise you, Sean, but the same thing that happens when, you know, you got this new report that came out for the RAND Corporation around Pashi stuff, right? And then people saying, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. It's just about an election ploy. Meanwhile, like, what the policy is actually talking about is about a dismantling of Pashi, so we're just supposed to ignore it, right? That whole mentality that we should just trust the system, I don't know what evidence we have that we should trust the system at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy,
oh, boy. Nothing to do but laugh.
Well, yeah, laugh and kind of, you know, kind of recommit. I mean, it's like, you know, you just got to shake your head and just
go. Yeah, and then they're also talking about having a third rally in the end of May, May 19th, another Saturday afternoon.
Just for kicks?
Just to have more people. They're going to, these people are having open carry rallies on the Capitol steps with their AR-15s. And it's going to be the third one they've had in a month and a half.
Oh, good. Well, I guess I'm going to have to come out for that one because I'm out of school by that point. If I'm going to be around the 19th, I don't know. We'll see.
It'll be a Saturday.
It'll be a Saturday. Yeah. Anyways, just one thing I want to kind of just mention to folks, and I'm not going to get into it too much here because I'm just I don't know, because I just know I will, but just want to kind of lay out some ground here. As I mentioned here, I was up in the mountains this past weekend because one of my basically family members is that she just was getting out of the hospital, and you know, she lost her husband in the last fall, and you know, she's out there alone, and so we want to go up, and we haven't seen her in a while. She got out of the hospital, and so we'll see if she needed any help, bring her food and that kind of stuff and things. And on my drive out there, it's right up by Ricketts Glen State Park, right off Route 118, west of Wilkes-Barre. And driving in, and we're kind of, there's this Red Rock Corner Store, which is at the kind of the base of the mountain as you go up to Ricketts Glen State Park. You go up to Lake Jean, is kind of like the public swimming area and fishing area up there. But anyways, right at the base of the mountain, of Red Rock Mountain, is the Red Rock Corner Store, and there's a kind of right at that intersection is this road that kind of goes back into kind of where we stay, and where we have this kind of family area. So anyways, as you go there, there's been fracking all in this area. And the way back years ago, I was posting some pictures of some of the wells that were being dug and so on. meanwhile, they finally got these approvals for the pipelines to go through. And it's the Sunrise. What is it? Sunrise East, I guess. Is that what that is, Sean?
You know, I guess.
Yeah, Sunrise East. I think that's one that would pipeline to go through. And so all this area, it had formerly been woods, right? It's just like, probably like, I don't know. I posted pictures on our Facebook page and things like this. It's got to be like 50 feet, if not 100 feet across, of just kind of the swath of trees just taken down through the woods where they're kind of putting this pipeline in. There's going to be a compressor station that's going around the base there. And the pipeline is going to go basically right through a whole bunch of wetlands, right along kind of the watershed areas. This is kind of like the picture of what's happening, is going to happen in the future, right? And if we take the lesson from what's happened with the Mariner East pipeline, right? These are different pipelines, but Mariner East pipeline is that there were several leakages. There were some kind of, I believe, some explosions. There were some kind of pollutants that were kind of making their way into groundwater. It was put on hold while they kind of studied it. They looked at safety measures and all this kind of stuff. And this past week, the Public Utility Commission just basically recommended to restart the Mariner East 1 pipeline. This was despite a packed room of people that came urging them to not continue on the pipeline, to stop the madness. But they went right ahead and are going to do this. And so now you're going to put more people kind of in jeopardy. Now, one of the things that, you know, part of this is going to go through, you know, fairly highly populated areas of Delaware County. Let me see if I can pull it up exactly where I had this marked, but it's not showing up. But, you know, some fairly populated areas of kind of downstate. And there's going to be environmental impacts in this. Now, there's a story in the State Impact, NPR State Impact, and they kind of framed it as like, you know, basically, look, you had environmentalists standing up and then against unionists, right? Union members from kind of steamfitters locals and kind of other places that are kind of going to get jobs from the pipeline, who had members of the union there to argue to kind of, you know, keep the pipeline going. You know, yes, we're going to build a pipeline. And, you know, these are the same kind of false choices that we've got to learn from, too, as well. It's like, yes, there is going to be some short-term jobs for building this pipeline. But once that pipeline is there, those jobs go away, right? And all those people that are now in that path of the pipeline are going to be paying the price for generations, right? This is not a climate change versus jobs. This is we need a fundamentally different environmental policy right off the bat. We should not be pitting pipelines that are going to destroy people's lives and livelihoods and our water supply and pitting that against kind of short-term jobs. And unions have got to get it through their head, right, that this is not going to help, right? The advocacy should be, right, here's what my number one alternative energy, invested in alternative energy infrastructure, right? Yes, if the pipelines are going to happen, unions should be fighting against those pipelines. But if they're going to happen, then that should be union labor, right? Yes, because you want the workers to be able to kind of like, one, know what the hell they're doing. Number two is that they're going to be able to kind of speak out when they find out problems, right? But this cannot be, right, a solution. This is not a solution. Right. And the fact that we are kind of pitting groups of people against each other once again, as opposed to investing in energy future, because this pipeline is going to destroy us all. It is going to continue down the fossil fuel frenzy, the addiction that will kind of only kind of like worsen our climate future. So, I don't know what to do about this, because it's just you see, you know, people are kind of locked in on this, but man, we've got to push back. To my union brothers and sisters, you can't accept this, right? So internally, you got to work inside your unions to push back against this kind of mentality and have a kind of progressive, forward-looking approach to kind of basically kind of development. Yes, you want jobs. Those jobs got to be in the alternative energy infrastructure, not in the kind of stuff that's going to destroy your own children and mine. Right. So that's what I got to say about that. Meanwhile, we've got some cool stuff happening this weekend.
We right? do.
Bernie Sanders is barnstorming through the state in support of progressives in the state. And from what I understand, Sean, you are going to be at one of these events.
Yes, I got press access to the Lancaster event. He'll be endorsing Jess King at 10:30 in the morning, Saturday morning. And one of the things I was able to see Bernie Sanders speak back in the primary a couple years ago, able to see him speak Progressive Summit. And, you know, it was during the primary seeing Clinton and Sanders speaking that I decided I want to get a camera.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like that's what made me want to do it, because like I don't want to miss out on this stuff. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And tomorrow I'll be going down to go see Bernie Sanders. Tomorrow I'll be seeing Bernie Sanders down in Lancaster, and I'll have a nice telephoto lens with me. And also, the thing's a beast. It's going to weigh like 3.25 pounds. But it's a nice telephoto lens. I want to get some awesome pictures with it. So
that's awesome. And then later on, I'm psyched to hear that. I remember that at the PA Progressive Summit, man. I've got some great pictures, and I took some video from like right here. And this is actually, if you remember, this was right before he actually decided to run. It was before he decided to run that he spoke at that conference.
Yes. Right?
It was like he was in the process of deciding to say, well, look, he's going around, he's talking to see if there's actual interest. And I remember him saying at that point, like, if there's people that are not wanting to get behind the agenda, right, that not want to get out, then I'm not going to do this. Who would have known that, like, you know, just like a month later or something like that, that was going to go on. That was incredible. So later on that afternoon, Bernie Sanders, again, not exactly known for taking it easy right? He's going from Lancaster in the morning, or Lancaster, I guess, so as we say.
Lancaster.
I'm going to head out. Yep. I can't do it. he's going to head out to Allentown, and there's going to be an event there that is going to be hosted by Make the Road Action in PA and Greg Edwards for Congress. You're going to have Bernie Sanders there, who has endorsed Greg Edwards as part of this you know, America for All of Us tour. They'll be from 2 to 4 p.m. at Miller Symphony Hall in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Tickets are still available, from what I understand, through Eventbrite. If you just go to Greg Edwards for Congress, his Facebook page, we'll have a link in the show notes. We'll have a link to the event, too, as well. You just click for Eventbrite to get tickets to the event. I also got press access for that one. Realistically speaking, my wife is out of town for the day. I don't think I'm going to be able to pull off the inside of it with both my kids. But I think we're going to head up there ahead of time to talk to some people who are kind of waiting in line because, you know, people can start showing up at something like noon, right, to get in line for the event. And then they're going to cap it off for in the evening. You're going to meet down with John Fetterman down in Philadelphia for a rally in Philadelphia in support of John Fetterman's race for attorney general. So it's going to be Attorney General? Did I get that right? Not Attorney General.
Yeah.
So this is incredible. I mean, it's incredible that he's going to be here ahead of the primary, which is May 15th, if I'm right.
Yes.
Yep. So pretty cool, man. So what are you hearing about it? Does it look like there's going to be a good turnout for that event?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely. I think there will be.
Yeah. So, I mean, have you had a chance to talk to many of the folks kind of in the Jess King campaign about kind of how things are going, or what's your sense of stuff on the ground there?
I mean, I think it's going pretty well. They don't have a primary challenger, but they're still going out door knocking and doing the campaign work. So they're still getting they're hitting every voter that they could possibly hit.
Yeah, I think that was awesome that her little challenger there stepped out of the race. So then kind of really focused on the general election. And Greg Edwards, man, you know, his ground game has been amazing, organizing in the community, you know, just like he's been doing for decades. So,
and then did you see that Next Gen America is putting $1 million behind a Stop Morganelli campaign?
No kidding. Prime?
Yes.
That's pretty huge.
Yes. So
it's a Stop Morganelli, not a backing of one particular candidate or another.
Correct.
So that's good to hear.
Because $100,000 on an anti-Morganelli efforts.
Nice.
In the last week. Nice. It's all going to be through Facebook and Instagram.
Nice. Well, and you remember, Next Gen America is the one that held that, you know, their first kind of candidate forums that they held. They're doing this across the country. The first one was in the PA 7th. And that was the one where Morganelli basically was the only one of all the candidates who were running who refused to basically say that he was pro-choice. So yeah. Supported abortion rights. So
and he's also bragged about working with people like Chris Kobach and others associated with, the harsh anti-immigration reforms we're seeing.
Yeah, he's all in with Pat Toomey, too, as well, on the harsh sentencing and death sentence stuff. So,
yeah. So
there you go. I mean, at the very least, you got to beat back Morganelli. Yeah, I'm really hoping that we're going to see a strong turnout for Greg Edwards, why I think that's so important is, you know, like I said, I've lived in Allentown for a while. You know, that was one of the first places I lived when I moved to Pennsylvania. I love that town. I love the Lehigh Valley. I've always been saying that Lehigh Valley really is the future of Pennsylvania. And the future of Pennsylvania, folks, especially in that kind of area, is not the kind of old school white folks, right? I mean, there's been such a demographic shift in there. And they basically kind of people of color, kind of immigrant folks, right, and the kind of progressive community in general has been completely underserved in the area. They've had, you know, been represented by Charlie Dent, which, you know, does not represent the changing demographics in the area. But thanks to redistricting, we're actually going to have the opportunity to get real representation in the Lehigh Valley. So it's a good deal, man.
Uh-huh.
It's a good deal. So I don't know. We talked a little bit about this beforehand. Anyways, I should just say, go to Facebook, check out the Bernie Sanders events this weekend if you're in the area. Again, it's Bernie Sanders. You want to look for the slogan America for All. He's there with Jess King or with Greg Edwards or with John Fetterman. he'll be around. It's pretty freaking amazing. And this is just a shout out. There was for folks to check this out. I thought it was very interesting. Yesterday's Majority Report. They had this guy on. I'm just going to forget his name again. Let me pull up his article. Gabriel De Benedetti. He writes for New York Magazine, and he basically has this piece called "Bernie Sanders is Quietly Building a Digital Media Empire." And it was a fascinating interview, and his piece is even more fascinating. So basically, what De Benedetti basically began to recognize, he started noticing that, you know, Bernie Sanders keeps on putting out these videos on like Bernie TV kind of thing, these Facebook Live videos. He had one that was very popular that was a discussion with Elizabeth Warren. There was another one that came down from the Canadian Health Service, which is kind of the most kind of watched version. It's talking about single payer, what that actually looks like in practice, kind of what the experience is like. And he's getting huge numbers of views on these, like in the millions, right? And so some of these videos, actually, if you compare the viewership of his Facebook Live videos with, like, say, for example, CNN at the same period of time when these things are going on, the Bernie Sanders stuff on Facebook beats CNN numbers, right? So that means you've got a ton of people that are tuning into this, right? And so De Benedetti basically, you know, goes and talks to Sanders and say, hey, like, what's up with this? And Sanders is, you know, basically doing what he's been doing since he's been involved in politics. He's been, you know, looking for other ways to kind of meet his constituencies, to talk to his supporters, to talk about policy and talk about issues of going around, right, the mainstream media. Because, you know, again, as we've talked about at the start of the show today, corporate media is focused on, and mainstream media is focused on, when it comes to the Trump administration, is focused on like three issues, right? And meanwhile, you've got all this other really important stuff that's going on. So Sanders sees this as an opportunity to kind of talk directly with voters, directly to constituents, and people are following this. That's really interesting in terms of what they're standing. And it's all happening out of his Senate office. And when De Benedetti basically said, you know, so is this you gearing up for 2020? And the way he describes it is like Sanders kind of gets disgusted with him. He's like, oh, here you go again, you people, right? You know, he's like, you know, that's all you can think about is a presidential election, right? Where he just wants to say, I'm doing this because of this. But then, you know, he always says, look, what's happening with our revolution, what's happening, you know, any kind of potential campaign, that's a separate thing. So this is something he's been doing nonstop as long as he's been involved in politics, but now he's making use of these kind of new media and social media. So, I mean, it, you know, it's kind of really cool stuff. So check out, you know, his interview on the interview with Gabriel De Benedetti on the Majority Report. And I'll put a link also to his article in the New York Magazine, because it actually, you know, I think it bodes well in terms of thinking about alternative media infrastructures kind of going forward, not just for Bernie Sanders, but thinking about alternative media infrastructures and how we might begin to help build that groundwork alongside Bernie Sanders and others that are involved in this stuff. So anyways, anything else going around the state, Sean?
Nope.
Nope. All right.
Nothing I can think about.
All right. That sounds good. So then we're going to take this little break. We've got to make sure that Sean gets to pick up his lens in a little bit. So we don't want to run too late, because then he's going to get all itchy and he's going to get irritable. And he's already like hot and swampy in his apartment this morning. So we don't want to poke the bear. So
exactly.
So this is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. Remember to become a member of Raging Chicken for as little $5 a month. Go to patreon.com/rcpress. We will be right back after this short break. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. Over the past 6 years, we've brought unapologetic, progressive, activist media to Pennsylvania and beyond. We've helped hold those in power accountable and shine a light on some amazing activist work. We've broken national stories and established a reputation as an aggressive, independent media site. As newsrooms close and traditional journalists lose their jobs, hard-hitting, investigative news suffers. If we care about our democracy, we have to find new, sustainable models of journalism. And frankly, no one's going to do it for us. After the Trump election, we dug in even deeper. Thanks to some longtime members, one-time donations, and a shift in other resources, we brought on more writers and started paying them. Now we're doubling down and want to expand our infrastructure and pay our writers even more. We need to invest in our media if we have a chance to resist the unprecedented assault on democracy, working families, women's rights, and our planet. History will remember the choices we make today. So take a minute to become a member of Raging Chicken Press. For as little as $5 a month, the price of a local craft beer or a cup of coffee, you will be supporting homegrown progressive journalists and media activists. Go to RagingChickenPress.org and click on the Support and Membership tab to become a member. Leave a one-time donation or learn about other ways that you can help. We don't have billionaire backers. Keeping progressive activist media going strong depends on you. Thank you for all your help and support. Keep up the fight.
Space Force. Space Force. Space, space is a war-fighting domain, just like the land, the air, and sea. We have the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Space Force. My new national strategy could be Space Force.
Say it with me, Sean. Yes, everybody, it's Raging Chicken's last call. We talk beer and space news and all sorts of things. Yes, that, of course, was that's kudos out to the Gregory brothers for putting together that little video. Donald Trump was once again out there talking about Space Force, right? So he was like, you know, had all the kind of military folks from West Point and stuff like this out the White House. And he wanted to congratulate him. Here were his actual words, which just I just gotta love this. This is Donald Trump addressing.
You will be part of the five proud branches of the United States Armed Forces: Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, and the Coast Guard. And we're actually thinking of a sixth, and that would be the Space Force.
Space Force.
Does that make sense?
No.
The Space Force, General. You probably haven't even heard that. I'm just telling you now. This is perhaps because we're getting very big in space, both militarily and for other reasons. And we are seriously thinking of the Space Force.
There you go, Sean.
This is Big Sarge with Space Force.
This is Big Sarge. We're reporting you from the International Space Station. This is Big Sarge. Look at our, we got a meteor coming right at us right now. Oh, my God. And it's an immigrant meteor. You know what? I think that the Space Force is going to be staffed by people that are trained by the American Guard. So they'll be able
rattling
to
rattling of the knives.
Well, you know, they are all about keeping the aliens out, Sean. So there you go.
Being native.
Yes, exactly. Space Force. There you go. So
when did he say this last week?
This is last week. So, okay, on March 13th was the first time when he said it on March 13th, he basically came out and was like, I forget where he was addressing it, but you know, it seemed like it came out of nowhere. Like, you know, it was the kind of thing where you could like see kind of people's heads kind of snap, like, what did he just say? Right. You know, kind of thing. Like it had just occurred to him. Right. He's like, oh, this might be a good idea. Like Space Force. I like the idea of that. Right. And then he's going to make up a backstory to it. Right. Say, oh yeah, we were just talking about that last week. Like, you know, everyone else looked like, well, I don't know what he's talking about, but he may be talking to himself about it. But so,
well, Kanye West.
Yeah, him and Kanye. Kanye's going to be like the head of the Space Force. Right? Exactly. But I've talked about this before. Like Mike Pence is like totally all in when it comes to like expanding kind of space exploration, establishing kind of moon based stuff and all this. Last week on the show, talked a little bit about, you know, how NASA is basically like preparing, like they're actually sending missions with their kind of the Orion space capsule, kind of moving that, kind of testing that.
So we're going to start building this thing out in outer space.
Dude,
right?
Totally.
And it's going to have like this laser.
Yeah, big laser.
And
tremendous laser.
And this laser is going to be able to like destroy planets in seconds.
Yes. Oh my God. I can't believe I didn't put that. Oh, Sean. See, now you're going to make me upset. I'm going to have something for you in a minute, right? So when you start telling us about the lens, I'm going to get something set that is absolutely required because you just said that. But no, so it's like basically you've got, you know, this, there's going to be this expansion. And apparently now, again, I'm going to say what I think happened, right? I don't have no idea. Maybe they were talking about this ahead of time. What I think happened was that Trump kind of, that idea came to him while he was speaking.
Like right? mid-fucking sentence. Ah,
exactly.
We got a sixth thing.
Space Force. What do we have a Space Force? Because I'm sitting here talking. Charlie, he was like at NASA. He was like at NASA or something like this. Something to deal with space. So we thought, Space Force. Right? You know? Is that sounds like almost like it's, something that's real.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. He's like Charlie from It's Always Sunny, the wild card.
Exactly. But, you know, he was, the thing was, it was real, right? And that's where that part of that song comes from. That, that was real. It was part, it was a 1980s, very short-lived series called Space Force. And it's totally like hilarious, campy show. You can actually watch them on YouTube, right? And it's like really bad, like space TV or science fiction. So, but funny, you know, especially looking at it from now. But, yeah, so he was all in there for the Space Force and, man, you gotta love him for that. So what I think happened, so he said that at that speech and then he went back and he was thinking, yeah, that does sound like a good idea now that I think about it. And so he started talking to his people about it and asked them to kind of look into it. Right. So, and now like even The Hill was reporting on this, right. They said that, you know, he said his administration is seriously thinking about creating this. Right. And, it turns out that sure enough that you've got some people in Congress that are biting on this one, right? So he, the endorsement.
Well, yes, sir, that's a great idea.
No, well, not even just that. Apparently, like Representative Mike Rogers, who's a Republican from Alabama, right? And
it's people who don't fucking believe in science.
Yeah, well, and Jim Cooper, Democrat from Tennessee, right? They had a failed effort to launch something that they called the Space Corps. Right. So the Space Corps, like, you know, AmeriCorps, but now we're going to the Space Corps. And they wanted to have that housed within the Air Force. Right. They came out and they were praising Trump this past week. And then Rogers said, like, looking forward to working with Trump on this initiative, exclamation point. And Bill Nelson, which ironically, like Major Nelson was the guy who worked for NASA for an I Dream of Jeannie. Just saying. Right. Another sitcom from back in the 70s, 80s, whatever. Anyways, but Senator Bill Nelson, a Democrat from Florida, who last year opposed establishing a Space Corps, has said he was not exactly a fan of that past proposal. I'm not too keen on ripping space out of the Air Force and creating a Space Corps, right? It's just crazy stuff, man. So now you've got Air Force leaders, Defense Secretary James Mattis, and Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Joseph Dunford have already opposed this idea in the past. And last year they pushed back against a plan to create a separate Space Corps within the Air Force, warning that it would be premature and add burdensome bureaucracy to the service. So despite the fact that you've got all these people in the Trump administration that are against it, Trump seems like he wants to be moving forward, and he's got some people in Congress that are willing to bite a bit on it. So this will not be the last time that we ever hear about this. But, you know, I have to say this, Sean, we got to have, I got to give you this sound since you brought it up. So this is the one thing that Trump did have to say about what he wants to create.
It's not just any Death Star. It's the Trump Death Star.
Did you know that that there was an episode of The Apprentice that was a Star Wars episode?
No, I did not.
They have this whole trailer to it, which I don't think I put the whole sound on. Let me just look real quick and see if I put the whole sound on it or not. It had this whole shtick with Star Wars. I couldn't even believe that it existed. Here, let me see if I've got it here. Let's see. Nope, no. I just got that one little clip, right, where he's basically sitting at this table, right, for the apprentice. He's sitting with Darth Vader on one side and some other dude on the other side and a bunch of stormtroopers. And it's basically, this was my original lead-in today, which is going to be like crushing the rebellion is a multi-million dollar operation. Your task is going to be to go out there, right, and whoever he does, you're going to be fired. And Darth Vader leads over to him, and Trump's like, and cut up into little pieces with a lightsaber. I like how this guy thinks. That's like that's actually the shtick from the Star Wars thing. So I thought it was only appropriate May the 4th that we know about.
It's not just any Death Star. It's the Trump Death Star.
and that will be led by Space Force. Space Force. You got to love it, man. You got to love it. So, Sean, so I've geeked out now. Now it's your turn, right? So I know you're already about 3 minutes late from your 12 noon pickup. 4 minutes late for your 12 noon pickup of your lens that you're will be taking to Bernie Sanders events tomorrow. Do tell.
Yes, I am running a Canon 70-200 2.8 Mark II lens. So it's like a really nice heavy telephoto lens.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to using it for the first time. So, yeah.
Have you ever used a lens like that before?
No, I have not.
So, any concerns that you're going to break it?
No, these things are built like a tank.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
okay, this is this is a random question. This is someone who obviously does not know anything about these things. But I've seen this sometimes where, so you said it's like a 3-pound lens, right?
Yes.
Is this the kind of thing you actually have to have like a monopod in front of it in order to hold a lens up?
No, it's not that heavy.
It's not that heavy.
No. But if I were to take a pictures, like say if I was shooting, like say if it was doing, like you would actually have like the hookup mm-hmm. for the tripod, mm-hmm. like an actual collar goes around the lens that you hook up to the tripod because the center of gravity right. is actually the middle of the lens than the camera.
That was my second question, right? So how does yeah. it actually, how does it handle? Because I would assume you have to use a tripod with this kind of thing.
No, not to shoot with it. You can shoot handheld really? Pretty easily. Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So yeah. I imagine you're going to get some awesome shots from this.
Yes.
Cool, cool, cool. Media Access, man. Raging Chicken on there. Sean Kitchen, like building his name.
Yep.
He's going into camera geekdom right now. That's crazy. We do also have, so Sean wasn't just busy, kind of tracking down a lens to rent, also paid a visit out to Evergreen Brewery in Camp Hill this week, I understand.
Yes. It's a brewery that's been open for about a year and a half now. We're about a year out in Camp Hill. It's mm-hmm. a really nice brewery. The brewer came from Trogues, they use Pizza Boy's old, brew house equipment for it. And they're making some really good stuff. A lot of good New England style IPAs coming out of there.
Oh, that's awesome. Pizza Boy. Who's that? Just kidding. You can't. No, awesome. Yeah, I mean, I've heard several people talk about that brewery and really liking it. So,
yeah,
it's a good stuff. And you had that. You showed me the can earlier on. So, not that he was drinking it like first thing in the morning, but it was kind of pretty cool. I had a major pickup yesterday. This week on Wednesday, Free Will released. It had a triple sour release, pretty amazing. And I have to say, I won't be able to tell you exactly how each one of them taste. I had three teeth pulled on Monday, and so I have antibiotics and things like this, and that's not generally stopped me in the past from trying something out like this, but I've just been wiped out. So like to the point, like literally I've been going to bed this week at like 9 o'clock. It's just as part of healing. And last night it was the same thing. I was like, oh, I should go. I really want to try this stuff, but I can't. I just got to go to bed. So there's three of them. So one is called Sangre de Gifre, right? I guess it's like all Frenchy, but it's a wild berry spontaneous sour ale, comes in at 4.6%. And so I'm just going to read you the descriptions. From air to earth to sun to sky, the spontaneous sour ale is the true embodiment of Bucks County territory, I think, right? Created from our two oak barrels of aging cool ship beer, fermented with native Percocet microflora and 135 pounds of local wild blackberries, raspberries, and wineberries, hand-forged by our head brewer Jeffrey. So that's really, really cool stuff. The second one was called My Wild Love, and this is the one I wanted to try last night. Also kind of comes in a kind of low alcohol, about 4.3%. Spontaneous sour ale with plums, artfully crafted from several oak barrels of aging cool ship beer, fermented with native Percocet microflora, and then blended with 600 pounds of local bluefra, I guess, plums from Wiser Orchards in York Springs, Pennsylvania. 1.5 pounds of whole fruit per gallon. This beer has aromas of juicy plums and muted oak, followed by bright citrus, and finishes soft, right? I'm really, really excited about tasting that. I had once, I cannot remember for the life of me, what beer it was, but I had a sour plum ale a couple years back, which I absolutely loved, and so I'm really excited for this one. And I know that this one you're excited about, Sean. This is the 2017 Peachy McPeach Face. Right, this is a sour ale with peaches. It's a 5.7% sour ale, comprised multiple vintages up to 3 years, blended in age and oak cask with fresh peaches. Juicy, ripe, nectarous peach notes permeate the palate, finishing firm with a refreshing tartness to awaken the taste buds. And you love this one, you said.
Yes.
Yeah. So I picked up one of those for Sean. And then tomorrow, this is May 5th. Don't miss this one, folks. Tomorrow, Pizza Boy has yet another release. It is a sour
Free Will.
What did I say?
You said Pizza Boy.
Pizza Boy. This is not Pizza. What am I talking about? See, I just got, there's these things in my head that I wanted to say earlier, but I did not say. And so now it's kind of eating its way through my brain. I'm sorry about that, Free Will. I do not mean to make the comparisons. All right. So Free Will has got yet another sour release. This is, it's 5th of May. It is a margarita inspired sour ale. I had this last year and I absolutely loved it, especially with the warm weather. I have not had a sour ale that I like better in like the warm weather. It just feels like a freaking party is what I gotta say. But it's aged in tequila barrels with key limes, finished with Himalayan salt. The sour ale is a tribute to the classic cocktail, the margarita. It's a perfect day. Tomorrow is Cinco de Mayo, of course. Not Swingo de Mayo, like we talked about last week, but Cinco de Mayo. And so the fact that it was ready and they said, okay, well, let's just release it on Cinco de Mayo. Perfect, right? The best way to follow, like, May the 4th be with you is with the 5th of May from Free Will. So stop by there and pick them up. I will tell everybody, if you are interested in picking up one of those sours, they told me when I was stopped by there yesterday to pick them up that they are running out fast. So if you're interested in those things, pick them up. I've already picked up some for Sean, so he's safe. But for the rest of you scumbags, right? The rest of you hordes. The one of you that ain't right born, you better get yourself to Free Will if you want your sour. I think that's a good of a place to ever to end. What do you say, Sean?
Yes. That's it.
All right, man. Sean's going to run out, and he's going to go get his lens. And we should say, shout out to Sean. Yeah, he's flying out right now. Sean does not have his AC in today. So according to him, it's like a swamp in his apartment. Drain the swamp, Sean. Drain the swamp. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. We will be back next week with another episode. Until then, folks, man, keep up the fight. Keep going. See ya!
The shining city on the hill. Vote for Donald Trump for a safer America. Greatness!
You gotta love this.
God bless the United States of America! USA!
In order to ensure the security and continuing stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire for a safe and secure society.
This is how liberty dies. With thunderous applause.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to win so big.